Letters from a Glass House is a not-for-profit ministry of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Venice, Florida. Support us today at uucov.org.
Way back in that ancient year of 1998, there was a fairly little-known band named Semisonic. Some of you may have heard their biggest hit, a little song called Closing Time. Song was fairly forgettable, but one of the lines really stuck with me. Closing time, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Now, if you go by just the words of the song, it's a trite little song about closing time at a bar, leaving with your friend for the night. The writer said he was actually thinking about his daughter who was about to be born and the idea of being kicked out and into the world. But accidentally or on purpose, they touched something a little deeper with those words. Endings and beginnings are two points on that endless great wheel. And each is unable to exist in the other's absence. And while they may seem easy to pinpoint, they somehow slide away on closer examination. There are no simple and easy stops and starts. Now, books and movies make it look simple, really black and white. The tale starts with a birth or a death, a celebration, a revelation. If all else fails, the arrival of adolescence. And they end with a leaving, another death, a neat wrapping up of 100 threads in one little tiny package. 60 minutes complete with commercials. At the end of Mark Twain's Tom Sawyer, he ends it perfectly, saying, "So endeth this chronicle, it being strictly the history of a boy, it must stop here. The story could not go much further without becoming the history of a man. When one writes a novel about grown people, he knows exactly where to stop it, that is, with a marriage. But when he writes of juveniles, he must stop where he best can." In the day-to-day world, it's much more complicated. We're born in the middle of the story, right? And we exist before the end, and in between, we stop and start and stop and start chapter after chapter. We're part of that shared story, and we make choices that impact not only ourselves, but every other character. We're created of the stops and the starts. And in order for something to start, something else must end. But where it happens in time and space doesn't matter. These points are arbitrary. The wheel of the year is a great example of it, and a greater metaphor. On paper, it's very logical. The pagan wheel of the year was a way to tell time before clocks and calendars were a major feature of daily living. You took a year, you divided it into four quadrants, and you called them spring, summer, winter, fall, or the local equivalent. Winter and summer solstices bisected the year at top or bottom, 12 and 6. And these were the longest and shortest days. The spring and fall equinoxes happened at what we would call 9 and 3 on the clock, days when dark and light were equal. Now, this mattered a lot in places like Florida and Wisconsin, where the actual first day of spring might be 86 degrees, or in Wisconsin's case, buried under 2 feet of snow. If your definition of starting spring involved what the weather was doing and words like getting warmer, you would have been totally out of luck, or celebrating spring sometime in mid-May or mid-February. So an arbitrary point, how much light is present, was selected, and everybody could celebrate the turning of the wheel on the same day, roughly. Ostara is a pagan holiday that falls on the spring equinox. Some of you may recognize the resemblance to the word Easter. It is very possible that Christianity swiped this holiday. For those of you who've always wondered what the heck bunnies and eggies had to do with the birth of Christ, we can be pretty sure it was swiped. Ostara was the day when light and dark were equal, before the days began to lengthen towards summer. It was a day to let go of the darkness of the winter and to embrace the fertility of spring, often with imagery of, need I mention, rabbits and eggs. In his wonderful young adult book, Wintersmith, the late Terry Pratchett tells the story of a young witch named Tiffany who caught the attention of the spirit of winter, the Wintersmith. And because the Wintersmith fell in love with a human girl, he refused to leave. And what Tiffany originally saw as something harmless suddenly began to give her nightmares of a land locked in snow and ice forever. At one point in the story, Tiffany is arguing because she cannot understand why anyone would dance to welcome the coming of winter, as her people do. And an older witch loses her patience and snaps, "The year is round. The wheel of the world must spin. That is why up here we dance the dark Morris dance to balance it. We welcome the winter because of the new summer deep inside of it. So at Ostara, we dance to welcome the spring, to celebrate the Lord of Ice and the Spring Lady or the Green Goddess as they change places. And to misquote Pratchett, we dance to welcome the spring because of the new winter deep inside of it. We dance to let go because every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end." Now, a friend of mine, who I will call Kim to protect the guilty, learned this in a way that could have been horrific. And she writes a very funny blog, but this story wasn't very funny, and it's very true. Kim and her family went skiing on a rather large mountain in Canada. And she had never skied before, though the rest of her family, including her sons, had. And so everything was a little new. And when it came time to get on the ski lift, however, she headed down pat. She'd ridden similar lifts many, many times. And so she and her 10-year-old got on the lift together and started up, except something went wrong. And she shifted, or he shifted, and she slid, and then he slid. And suddenly he was gone. He had slid off the lift. Now, Kim is fast. She's very fast. And she managed to grab the coat of his sleeve as he started to fall. And so there they were with the lift moving and him dangling from the lift, held only by his mother's grip on his sleeve. And she realized almost immediately she had no leverage. She would not be able to pull him back in. And she looked ahead and saw that in 5 seconds they would be 20 feet in the air, and that this was a very long lift. She looked ahead and realized she could not hold him dangling until they reached the other side. So she dropped him, deliberately. She watched him hit the snow, then get up and walk back to get the next lift that he could. And the ride for her took 10 minutes and she cried the whole way. She stood there and she waited. And when he got to the other side, he jumped off and called out to her exuberantly, "Hey, Mom, I fell off the ski lift. It was so cool. When you write about it, tell everybody it was me. I fell off the ski lift." Sometimes letting go is the only way forward. You know, last week our choir performed the song "There Is a Season," and that piece comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, in the Christian New Testaments. And those verses say the exact same thing. To everything there's a season, there's a time for everything. time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, time to pluck up the planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, time to break down and build up, to weep, to laugh, to mourn, to dance, to cast away stones, to gather stones, to hug, not to hug, to get and to lose and to keep and to throw away, to rend, to sow, to be silent, to speak, to love, to hate, time of war, a time of peace. How many things have you hated to let go in your life? How many sleeves have you found yourself gripping tighter and tighter, feeling the slide and knowing you couldn't make it to the other side? How many times have you been unable to let go when it was time? I know for most of us, there's a lot of them, starting with those favorite jammies as a four-year-old. No wheel can turn if it's anchored to the ground. And no wheel can keep on turning if it's unbalanced. It'll just wear away on one side. Ostara's the time of year to dance in celebration of the coming. And it's also time to examine what to let go. Some of you may have heard the theme from the Disney movie Frozen. What's gone past a season? Let it go. Old hatreds and grudges, let it go. Eating habits from when you were 10 years younger, you can't eat that anymore. Let it go. That friendship that does more harm than good, let it go. The relationship that tears you down rather than builds you up. Let go of the stuck places that anchor you to a point on the wheel you should have passed by a long time ago. Let go of the practices and theologies that aren't you anymore. Let it go. Let go of the mistakes you made 5 years ago and are still kicking yourself over. Let go of the pain caused when others tried to tell you who you were. You know who you are. When you've done all that, do the harder things. Because you got to let go of the sleeve when it's time. Downsize the house you can't handle anymore. Let it go. Give up the clothes that fit you 32 years ago and you will never see that size again. Let it go. Put down the grudge you've carried for so long you really don't remember why it started. John, will you hand me my mug? Thank you, sir. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end, and nothing stays the same. The wheel has to turn. About 17 years ago, a dear friend lost her young husband way too soon. And I'll tell you, she's held on to him with both hands. Before his death, she was her and he was him. And after his death, she became Dave's widow. And she stayed Dave's widow, and something odd started to happen. She dragged his memory along with her through every moment of every day, and slowly it started to change shape from all that dragging, started to lose its edges and to become polished. See, the Dave we knew, he wasn't polished. He sang like an angel, and he also burped way too loud in all the wrong places. He wore deliberately weird clothing in strange ways, ate with his fingers when he shouldn't have. He once used two bread wrappers to tie his hair back in ponytails because it was bugging him. That was the Dave we knew. The Dave she was holding on to after 10, 15, 17 years, that man was a saint. He'd lost all the pieces that made him real. All the unique bits that captured the fragile humanity. He was a caricature of himself in her mind. Excuse me. And he was shaping her life as she fought to keep that wheel from turning. So let go of the perfected memories. Remember all the good and all the bad, the dark and the light, and let the wheel turn. The wisdom of earth-centered religion tells us that there's a cycle, tells us that spring is coming, and that we celebrate the joy of new life, the end of winter. And Walt Disney and Frozen tell us to let it go, and who am I to argue with a Disney cartoon and a bunch of druids? Spring is coming. Welcome the light. Dance the dance. Have a blessed Ostara and let it go. Amen.